His mercies are new every morning. I don't know about you, but I need His mercies every morning. I need His mercy, Father God. We thank You for Your mercy, Lord. Wow. Your mercy. In our time of need, talking about His mercy in our time of need, and the good times, the bad times, the struggles. Lord, we thank You for mercy in this nation. Lord, if this nation doesn't have Your mercy, there is no hope. But Lord, we thank You for Your mercy, because Your mercy leads to repentance, Your kindness. So we thank You for that, Lord. We take a second and say, thank You, Lord, for Your mercy. Can you say, thank You, Lord, for Your mercy? Thank You for Your mercy, Lord. Thank You for Your mercy upon my life and upon my family, Lord Jesus. Your mercy, Lord God. Thank You for showering my family, Lord, with Your mercy. How we love You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus, for Your mercy, Lord. We honor and worship You, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You for Your mercy, Lord. Thank You that Your mercies are new every morning, Father. We honor and bless You, Lord Jesus. We thank You for Your anointing, Father God. We thank You for the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. We thank You for the anointing that softens hard hearts. We thank You for the anointing, Lord, that takes a mind and detangles it and brings in truth and liberty. We thank You for Your liberty, Lord Jesus. Thank You for Your liberty, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Father God. Thank You, Jesus. All based upon Your mercy. Your mercy, Father. We thank You for that tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name. In the name above all names. The name above every name.
Yes.
The name above every sickness, every struggle, every disease, every bondage, every chain. The name above all names, Jesus. And we thank You for it, God. Thank You, Father. We thank You, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Do you love Him tonight, saints? I love Him too. It's good to be with you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with His people. You know, and we'll probably read it tonight, but one of the ways you know if you are walking in truth is if you have fellowship with one with another. That's how you know if you're walking in the light. Isn't that amazing? I was also thinking of the story. You guys know that you guys love accounts in the Bible, don't you? Remember the blind man? He's on the side of the road, and he's saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And they started shushing him. And what did he do? All the louder. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And then and Jesus stops and says, get that boy over here. Get that boy over here. And then brings him over there. Jesus knows what he wants, right? And Jesus says, well, what do you want? And he says, I want to see. And I'm telling you today in His church, I can only for America. Lord, I want to see. Jesus, Son of David, I want to see You more clearly. I know He has a lot more for us. Did you know that? You know, even more than just the physical, He takes care of our needs, doesn't He? But He wants to reveal so much more about Himself. So much more about Himself through the Holy Spirit, through the power of God. Amen? Maybe God will unlock a few of His scriptures tonight. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. Lord, as we'll see another scripture tonight, Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Illuminated. The truth of the Word of God illuminated through the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your Word tonight, Lord. Oh, how we love You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Once again, good to see you guys. Everybody looks happy tonight. John Harris, you look happy tonight. Thank you, John. I can't help it. I'm sorry, John. John will quit coming if I keep doing that. So this a little tidbit, because remember we were talking about how might have been kind of gross that John the Baptist was eating locust, but he did put honey on it. And we asked if it was lawful. So Leviticus 11, 21 and 23 in the law, yet these you may eat among all the winged insects that walk on all fours, those which have jointed legs above their feet, with which to jump on the earth. These of them you may eat, the locust and its kinds, the devastating locust and its kinds, the cricket and its kinds, and the grasshopper and its kinds, but all other winged insects which are four-footed are detestable to you. So next time you feel the urge to eat a chocolate-coated cricket, go right ahead. If it was good enough for the Jews, it was good enough for me. So some of you have been double dog dared to eat a cricket maybe, and you thought, well, I can't do that. Well, somebody was doing it back even under Jewish law. So it's a clean creature, very full of protein, and with honey makes it manageable. So I just wanted to pull that out and show you that it's in the Word of God, and I was not making it up. Amen. John, we're on session 17. Isn't that awesome? And we are in chapter 3. Isn't that awesome? And I can't wait to get to chapter 4. You know why? I know I'm wasting time. I'm sorry. What's in chapter 4? Does anybody know? More word from the Bible. But it's really specific. The lady at the well. The first convert in the book of John. The first convert and the first evangelist. Amen? Can't wait to get there. But we gotta get through the rest of John. So John chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. And they came to John. This is John the Baptist. And they came to John and said to him, and this is his disciples. So we're talking about John's disciples. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all the people are coming to him. So sometimes you got to be in your mind if you got a good imagination, okay? You guys have pretty good imaginations? I'm sure you do. So you got to sometimes put yourself in the, don't just look at it as words, but try to see it with pictures. You know, the Word of God can be really powerful if you can say, I want to see the Word of God in pictures in my mind. Amen? And so you can see these guys coming around John the Baptist. And number one, they're saying, John's disciples noticed their popularity maybe was waning. They say, hey, where did everybody go? They had been hugely popular with the Israelites. And now, do we have that pic of Jesus, by the way? John did. By the way, I just wanted to say, I'm not saying this is Jesus. But what I'm saying is we're used to the beautiful Jesus with the beautiful hair, the blue eyes. But Isaiah 53 says we wouldn't have picked him out of a crowd and said, there's the Messiah. He might have actually been the last guy. You know when you're picking teams for basketball? If we were picking a team for potential Messiah, he might have been the last guy picked. So I'm not saying he would have had that expression. Because he looks a little lost. But I'm just saying that that guy might have looked something similar to what Jesus looked like in the flesh. In the flesh. And so the people that he was around him, I just want to mention that. First of all, you know, they didn't know he was born in Bethlehem. He never told anybody. They said, can anything good come from what, Nazareth? So it seemed like everything in the natural would say, this guy is not the Messiah. Who he's hanging with. His disciples, fishermen, everything in the flesh would get you to say, nope, go in a different direction. And so we have these disciples. So I just wanted to show that, John, just because, I don't know about you, but I always grew up with Jesus was the only one of the Israelites. Everybody else looked common, and here was a guy with blue eyes. And nice, beautiful hair, amen? But this is what he might have looked like. Does that make sense? You guys good with that? Amen. It's not after the flesh ourselves anyway, is it? It's by the Spirit. Thank God. Amen. By the Spirit we know him. Thank you, Jesus. And so anyway, you could see his disciples saying, where did everybody go, John? What's happened? I mean, we had this great ministry. People are coming by the thousands to be baptized. And all of a sudden, Jesus' ministry starts to take off. And his disciples are saying, hey, what happened here? Could you imagine? Maybe they didn't quite understand because they saw what Jesus looked like.
They heard what John the Baptist had said, but they also saw what Jesus looked like, a common individual, and all of a sudden they didn't get it. They're saying, what happened to our ministry? Everything was going so well, and things dried up. Things have dried up. And the important thing is, this is so interesting, what John the Baptist's reply is. And I'm praying, Lord, can help us to delve in this and have it make sense. So John said in verse 27, John replied. He could have said a lot of things. John replied, a person can receive not even one thing. Saints, listen to this. Let this be in our hearts tonight. Jesus replied, a person can receive not even one thing and unless it has been given to him from heaven. Wow. All the things that he said that he could have said. What he was saying is, look, I am not looking at these numbers here of the people. Anything I had to begin with, any ministry I had to begin with, any job, anything that was going in my favor came from him anyway. And he said, not even one thing, saints. Saints, in our day, in this day, in this hour, with everything we see that could put our heart in fear, let's continue to remember that everything that we have, everything from the peace of God, from God touching our lives, from God providing from us, John the Baptist says, everything comes from him. That's why we always give glory to God, saying, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for supplying my needs. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for revealing who you are to me. Amen. Everything. He could have said a lot of things. Hey, boys, things will get better. Boys, I'm sure things will turn around. We're just having a lull in our business today. I'm sure, you know, we'll see what happens. But John the Baptist knew what his purpose was. He already knew why he came. He already knew what the scriptures are in the Bible about him, about himself. So he said, hey, nothing, everything I have from God's anointing, from all the crowds that came to see me, came from God in the first place. Hallelujah. See, John was saying, this ministry that I was given, the flourishing of it, the effect of it, the size of it, all depended on him. And then on top of that, two or three of John's disciples had gone off and followed Jesus. You know, if he didn't know who he was, if he didn't have confidence in God, he could have got a little bit jealous. He could have got concerned, amen? He could have said, what's happening, amen? But knowing that everything good comes from God. Saints, do you believe that everything good in your life has come from God? Every single thing. And I think once we see that and realize that it comes, as we'll look at some scriptures, comes down from God from above, boy, we can have an expectation. It came from you in the first place, God. I'm not going to worry about what other people have. I don't know where they're at or what they're doing or what they have accomplished. Lord, I know that everything that you've given me has come from you, not dependent upon the size of the crowd. Amen. Isn't that good what John said? All the things that John could have said. But he said that because he knew who he was in the Lord. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to see who we are in him. Saints, we say it over and over again, but I'm telling you, we need a revelation today of who we are in Christ. We need a revelation of who he is. It's a continual revelation. As Paul said, he says, this thing that's got a hold on me, I don't quite understand it. I don't have a full revelation of it. I don't get his mercies. I don't get his love for me. I can't get why he forgave me of all the things I've done in the past. I'm telling you, saints, it doesn't matter who or who hasn't forgiven you of things in your life. You can know that Jesus has forgiven you, amen? People can hold things over your head, and it can affect you for the rest of your life. But if you know who you are in Christ, you're free. You're forgiven. You're set free. You can breathe with ease. You don't have to carry a weight on your shoulders, amen? Amen and amen and amen. Amen. If you go to, he said, everything that I received came from God. Reminds me of James 1, 16 and 17. I know you guys know these scriptures, so it's just a reminder, amen? It's just reminder night. James 1, 16 and 17. Do not be deceived. We might delve into that a little bit more as well. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers and sisters. Every good Every good thing given, and every perfect gift is where? From above. Coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. His word is true and remains. What he thinks about you, where he's leading you, where he wants to direct you, doesn't change from day to day. See, remember, he says that he remembers that we're just flesh. Or I think it says he just remembers that we're dust. He knows that you're not perfect. He knows you live in a body that needs to be raised up like his. Boy, I think he is more kind and forgiving and compassionate than we could ever realize, saints. You believe that? We sang about it tonight. Your kindness leads us to repentance. His mercies are new every morning. Amen. Lord, that we would know through the revealing of the Lord, his heart towards us. You know, when we realize what he thinks about us, the worth that we have in him, that gets us to stand up, put our shoulders back. Remember Pastor Lee used to say, stand up on your hind legs, whatever that means, I'm not sure, but it sounds good. Stand up on your hind legs, put your shoulders back because of who we are in him. I wonder what percentage of believers understand that. Religion won't allow you to understand that. Do's and don'ts won't allow you to understand that. Because it's going to require a maintenance schedule, or it's going to require that somehow you perform to earn that. But when we know who we are in him, how much he dearly loves us, it makes you want to please him with everything within you. It makes you want to drop away anything that would hinder. Amen? When you know that your Father is behind you 100% today, tomorrow, the next day, when I mess up again, he's still there. He's still there. Amen? He's still there. He's just waiting for us to get up, say, thank you, Lord, forgive me, and move forward. Amen? And by the way, you have to believe in that mercy and that kindness and goodness, because he's forgiven you of the sins that you don't even know about. How can you repent of things you don't know about? Am I the only one who does things they don't know is not right all the time? I have someone else in my household that lets me know that too. Some of you live with the Holy Spirit too. Oh, and that's okay. Amen. That's good stuff, isn't it? Amen. So every good thing given, saints, is blessings, is provision, is protection. Every perfect gift, his salvation, the gift of God's, the things that he's placed within you, all come from him. You know, it says in 1 Timothy that he's the Father of lights. Remember, it says that he is light and there's no shifting shadow in him, right? Amen. There's no shifting shadow. In 1 Timothy 6:16, who alone possesses immortality, talking about God, and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. Wow. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. I love this. Let's just go a little bit with more. Let's just delve into light a little bit more. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of light. Perfect light. 1 John 1:5-7 says, this is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light. Amen. God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But listen, this is powerful. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. One thing I've come to realize is I'm walking in the light. When I walk in the light, I want to be around other people that are in the light. Now, I don't mind ministering to people that are in darkness, but I don't want to be around darkness, or I should say, they don't want to be around me as well. So as you walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You're going to want to be around other saints. If you want to know if you're walking in the light or not, when you're walking in the light, you want to be around other people that have that same light. That is one way from the scriptures. If we don't, we got to look at ourselves and say, is there any areas in my life that I'm walking in deception? Is there any areas of my life that are in darkness that are keeping me from walking in fellowship with Him and fellowship with one another? Amen? I don't know about you, but as I get closer to Him, as His light is being revealed to me, I start saying, bring on the light. Turn up the lights. Turn up the lights, Lord. Continue to turn them up. Do you agree with that, saints? Amen and amen. It's unapproachable light. And then light for mankind comes through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. If His light is unapproachable, well, how am I going to approach that light? Well, Psalms 119, 105 says this, your word is a lamp to my feet, light to my path. Man, his word leads and guides the saint. It's like this map. The Word of God is like a map in our life, and the Holy Spirit is like a compass saying, hey, this is what the Word is saying. This is what the Word is saying. It illuminates the light. Amen? So again, saints, every blessing, every opportunity, every open door, we believe it all comes from Him. Do you agree with that? Your job, your business, your retirement, every season comes with gifts and opportunity through the Lord as He reveals His light to us. Let me go real quick. I want to go to... I don't have this, John, so it's okay. I didn't put this, but in James chapter 1, verse 1, James. Now, we're talking about James, the half-brother of Jesus. James, who was the pastor of the Jerusalem church. And so James starts out, and it's interesting. James could have said, James, the half-brother of Jesus, who walked with Jesus, who knew Jesus, who saw His first miracle when He turned the water into wine. That's me, James. Amen? He could have, right? But He says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad. Greetings. Greetings. Let me just say this real quick about James. We know that Jesus, or God, is our Father. He loves us dearly. He paid the price for us. But we're also servants of God. This bondservant is something we're saying, you don't even get paid. You belong to Him. We know, God, that every good and perfect gift comes from God. We're talking about that. And see, if you read through these scriptures, he starts out by saying to the church that has been, or to the tribe of Israel that's been dispersed, they'd come under heavy persecution. And many of them had to leave the Jerusalem and that surrounding area and would disperse so that they wouldn't be killed. Well, the good thing is, as they were dispersed, the gospel was being spread, but also people were going under severe trials. So he starts out saying, hey, I belong to Jesus. I am His servant. My life belongs to Him. I don't care what comes my way. I know He's going to take care of me because I am a bond servant of God. Paul says, look, I am a servant of righteousness. He says, I am a servant of righteousness. I'm a slave to righteousness. So we look at it, maybe we can look at that wrong. We know that we're His child. We know that He loves us. But James says here, I'm a bondservant. This Jesus leads and directs my life. See, he's saying, brothers and sisters, I know you've been scattered abroad. I know that all these things have been happening to you, but trust Him. You belong to Him. He's your responsibility. When you're a slave to somebody, they're responsible for me. They're the ones that determine if they're going to take care of me, how much they're going to feed me, what they're going to do for me. But we know we serve a good, good Father. And then here's bond servant to Him. We know He takes good, good care of us. Amen? He leads us and guides us. He takes care of us. He opens doors for us. So when he starts out saying, I'm a bond servant of God, I belong to Him. I'm completely trusting Him for my every need. And then he continues, and as he goes through there, he says, I know you guys are going through a struggle. I know that you guys are going through a hard time, Don't give up and don't give in. Don't turn to other avenues. Don't turn to other ways that don't bring life and liberty. Keep your focus on me. And then when he ends up, that's when he said, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. And so we go back to now, when John's disciples said, hey, what's happened here? What's going on? Where'd all the people go? What happened to our ministry? What John was saying, look, said, I belong to him. And whatever's whatever, doesn't matter what it looks like, out there, he is leading and guiding me. He won't let go of my hand. I belong to him. Saints, the world doesn't like that because pride doesn't like that, but God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I have no problem saying, Lord, you are I want you to lead me in every area of my life. We're in a day and age, saints, under this power of grace and this knowledge and this revelation of grace, man, that he leads and guides us and brings us completely out of darkness. And I can tell you know that you're walking in the light when you have fellowship one with another. You know, like I said it before, when we're in there eating food, there's fellowship. When we're here together and we're laughing and talking, that is what, do you know that's walking in the light? That's walking in the light. So I come back to it. One way to check if there's any deception trying to sneak into your heart, you love being with the saints. If you love being with the saints, you're on the right track. If you love being with God's people, you're on the right track. Is that good stuff? Well, it's the word of God, so it's good stuff. Amen and amen. John 3:28, we continue. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, this is John talking to his disciples, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. He knew that from the Bible. When they came and said, hey, what are you doing? Who are you? Are you Elijah? No. Are you this person? No. Then who are you? I'm the one. I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. Amen. Straight from the Bible. I've been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the groom. But the friend of the groom who stands and listens to him rejoices greatly because of the groom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I must decrease. He knew that his walk and he knew that his purpose was coming to an end. Amen. We don't read much more in the book of John. They only have one more few verses that mention John, but we don't really hear about John anymore in the book of John. If you go to the book of Luke, we know that he's imprisoned, amen? And we know he does have a few struggles. We won't go there, but he did have a few struggles. He's imprisoned. And he sends somebody to say, hey, are you the one we're looking for? Or should we look for another? So he wasn't perfect. So he must increase, but I must decrease. Saints, one thing we can look. Let's look at our lives and don't compare ourselves to others, amen? And saying, Lord, everything I have comes from you. Everything in my life has come from you. Lord, thank you for the fellowship with others. Thank you for your goodness. So he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Then he says in verse 31, he who comes from above is above all. He's talking about Jesus. The one who is only from the earth is of the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. What he has seen and heard of, this he testifies, and no one accepts his testimony. The one who has accepted his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God sent speaks the words of God, for he does not give the Spirit sparingly. Jesus had the Spirit. He didn't have a measure of the Spirit. He was full of the Spirit. The Father loves the Son and has entrusted all things to his hand. You know, he is above. You know, there is a kingdom that we can't see. You know, I can say one of the only time I've really had something that God really just showed me and spoke to me, and I've mentioned it before, me and my wife were in a hotel room, we were praying, And I just felt like we were praying in tongues, and we just kept praying. And I felt like the Lord just was pressing on us to keep praying and praying and praying. And then all of a sudden, I had this impression. I didn't see anything, but it was as real as the day is long. I had this impression of just the kingdom of God right above me, where he's on his throne with everything. All of heaven was right there, not far from above me, not far. It was like an impression on my in my spirit man. And it made me, it's like, wow, there is another world, the kingdom of God, with activity going on right now. There's another world. And I just got to experience that for a minute. Then I realized I was down here. And then I thought, well, Lord, we're down here. But then he said, well, you got the Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. Amen. You have the Holy Spirit. So there's another world. He's from above. Amen. Jesus says, hey, it's important that I go so I can give you the comforter. Man, those words, the comforter. When Jesus was there by himself, he did it. He comforted his disciples, but he could not change them from the inside until the Holy Spirit come. Until the Holy Spirit came. Aren't you glad you have the comforter? You know how you take advantage of the comforter? Well, first is by faith, saying, Lord, thank you for filling me with the Holy Spirit. Thank you for every area of my heart being illuminated by your Spirit. Lord, thank you for the Word of God illuminating in my heart. Like today, just reading James 1, trying to read and just coming back to that over and over and over and over again until God just said, aha, it's bondservant. You belong to me. I take care of you. You don't take care of me. I take care of you. And that just blessed my heart. Because he said that, because he went right into, after that, those next few scriptures of what his brethren were going through around the world as they've been scattered around that area. As they were struggling, he was saying, God's going to take care of you. He's got your back. Don't give up. Don't allow the enemy to tempt you and take you another direction. That's what he does. Don't allow him to tempt you and get you off track. Keep trusting me. Keep loving me. Keep having fellowship with one another. Don't listen to a voice that's not mine. Don't let yourself listen to another voice that tries to deceive you and you think is mine, because it'll lie to you. And one of the ways that we can understand a voice differentiating from God and the devil is fellowship with one with another. It helps us not to get off track, because when you become separated from the head, Paul talks about it, that's when the enemy can start planting things in your mind that he starts mimicking the voice of God, and it always leads to condemnation. It always leads that you can't measure up, and it always leads you to just giving up and going to a different direction and getting off the path that God has for you. Thank God I'm not going to do that. Thank God you're not going to do that. Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. 36, the one who believes in the Son has eternal life. Well, how do you have eternal life, saints? Believing. Believing. But the one who believes in the Son has eternal life. But the one who does not obey the Son will not see life. Obey the Son. Believe your God. What's the first step? Believe your God. Come into my heart. Lord, I give you my life. Amen. The Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Saints, I want to say again that we live in a time. I was listening to something today. It broke my heart. It was Brian Houston with, I didn't even know all of this. You know, where he stepped down. And he had gotten in trouble with inappropriateness. Inappropriateness. It just broke my heart as I listened to that, how he could have got, you know, and wondering, it's deception. It's always deception where someone can somehow get off track, get involved with, in this case, it was prescription drugs and alcohol, and end up doing things that you did not intend to do, or at least that's what he blamed. And so in this day and age, when I read something like that, it puts the fear of God in me, and I say, God, I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be somebody that is going. See, there's an example. Everything looks right, but underneath things not right. Everything can look beautiful. We can look at things in other people's lives. We have no idea what's going on. We have no idea what's going on in their hearts. And then John the Baptist being okay when it says, boy, this looks like things aren't looking too good. Everything I have came from him in the first place. And so my mind is saying, Lord, there's so much deception out there. There's so much things that can get us off track, saints. You believe that today? There's so many different voices we can be listening to, and I know I harp on it and say it a lot, but I'm telling you, I just ask you, what do you spend your time looking at? What do you spend your time listening to? I'm talking to myself, saints. And I just keep hearing him saying, come to me. Come to me. Just put your trust in me. I'm going to lead you and guide you. Don't be fearful. Don't be fearful, amen? It doesn't matter what's coming right now. Don't be fearful. I'm a bondservant of his. It's like what James was saying. I'm a bondservant of God, and I'm talking to the 12 tribes who've been scattered abroad. Then he says, I know it's not looking good, but don't allow yourself to become off track. Don't allow yourself to get off track. Lord, can we stand up a second? Can we stand up together as we dismiss? Amen. Do you love him tonight? Lord, we thank you that you are faithful to keep us on the right track. Lord, thank you for your deep love. I'm telling you, his faithfulness is not a list of do's and don'ts, but it's pressing into his love. And then his light, then he shows you those things he wants you to change. He shows you those things that can deceive you, that can get you off track, that can get your mind on things that aren't fruitful, or your mind on things that bring that are troubling you. But saying, Lord, bring me into the light. I am your son and daughter, and I'm your bondservant. I belong to you. I belong to you. Father, we thank you for that right now. Father, we thank you for your light. Father, we thank you for your truth. Lord, we take it very serious. Lord, this walk with you, Lord, we do not want to be deceived in the last days. Lord, but even Paul says in the last days that the love of most would grow cold. I pray, Father God, that we won't be one of those whose love grows cold. But Lord, we're going to step into your light. We're going to step into your grace. We're going to step into your mercy. Father God, we're going to depend on you because we are your bondservants. Lord, it's your duty, Father. It's your priority to take care of us. And so we are trusting that, Father God. We are trusting that, Father God. And so we thank you, Father God. We thank you we pray for the church in America, Father God. I pray for all the people that are desperately bound because of religion, that are desperately bound by whatever their past. And I thank you that in this day and age, you're setting people free in Jesus' name, Father God. You're calling back the backslider. You're calling back those, Father God, who love you but are bound and just don't know how to get back. We thank you for your light, Father God. We already see people that have been desperately bound coming back to you, Father God, and being set free, Father God, by the power of your word, Father God. And we thank you for that, God. As you shine your light in a dark world, Father God, arise and shine, for your light comes, the glory of the Lord, Father God, as it shines through us and in us, Father, as you continually set your people free. What a wonderful time it is to be in the church, saints. It seems like a scary time, or it seems like an uncertain time, but I'm a bondservant of his, and he's taking care of me. How about you? And we thank you for that, Father God, that we can trust in you to take care of us, Father God. As you continue, Father God, those things that would try to keep us bound, we all have them. We thank you, Father, for setting your people free. Only by your goodness and your grace and your love and your power. And so we thank you for that tonight. Father, we love you. We worship you. We honor you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen.